I would like to introduce my four daughters. There are five of us together. And it just is an amazing blessing and privilege. This is the first time we've been together here. And we're staying at my house now. We don't have to go to a resort. And now, I know. Now I have to buy food. And but this is a great privilege. So would you just come and stand up in front here, and then I will introduce you. Oldest to youngest. Yeah, go up here for the cameras. Yes. I can figure it out. Okay. So my oldest daughter, who is on Medicare. I can, because it just shows how old she is. And no one would believe it. I know that. But all of my daughters have been involved in ministry ever since they were born, because that's who we were. And so we trained them to know that they had gifts inside of them, and that a lot of these gifts are usually speaking gifts. And some don't agree with me here, but they they all are very good Bible teachers, and they prophesy, and they minister to people, and they helped us when we started our churches. Tamara, I think, she still works for Faith Ministries. And so it's now been over 40 years that you've done that. And they've gotten their educations, and they were all homeschool moms, musicians of some kind. Pardon?
You didn't homeschool.
I did not homeschool, and they were so thankful. But I would threaten. I would threaten, and I would say, if I hear that in this Christian school I get a bad report about how you're acting, I will pull you out and homeschool you. And they said, we'll be good, Mom. We'll be good. Because it would not be a fun experience for them. So Tamara and her husband live in Greeley, Colorado. Darla and her husband live in Fort Collins. Julie and her husband live in Littleton or Lakewood, Colorado. And Sarah and her husband live right here, praise God. And so just know that they're wonderful women, talented, and they've worked with youth, worked with, well, you've just done everything. Anything you want to say that you might have missed, I might have missed, at how wonderful you are. So on the way here, driving here this morning, I said, would you please add up all the people who are involved as family members, because I cannot keep up with it. Do you know, and there are two blended families here, two people who have blended families, but we count everybody and we celebrate everybody. And so I have tons of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. There are five generations, and we counted up 81 people altogether. 81 of us. Yeah, it's really tremendous. And so I also said to these wonderful women that if they think of something while I'm speaking that they would like to add afterwards, that they are free to come up and do that. And so they're all going to be taking notes, of what they're going to say. So let's give them a round of applause. I didn't even say your names. I'm so sorry. Tamara. And then Julie is next, and Darla, and Sarah. And Sarah was going to be named Libby. And And our daughters voted it down. Darla was going to be named Brenda when we went to the hospital. And then in the hospital, I shared a room with somebody and another woman, of course, having a baby. And on her radio, it said, and the Miss Teenage America is Darla, da-da-da-da. And I said, that's it. That's who we're going to name her. So it changed from Brenda to Darla, and then she married a man whose mother was Brenda. So that was good. So God really helped us with all of that. So now about these books, I have 5 titles, and I want you to see what they are. And then, ladies, you can pass these out to people. Faith, Believe It or Not. We have all of these books on Amazon, by the way, and there are 8 books on Amazon now that we published. Faith, What a Deal. Knowing God. God wants to have a relationship with you. How to Flow in the Supernatural. And my husband was an expert on that. And then this one, Darla's husband designed this cover. I love this cover. And it's called Throw Yourself a Party. And everybody puts it upside down. But this is how it's supposed to be. And this is from James 1, where it says that, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials and tribulations. And in one version, somewhere along the way, I read that it said that can identify as throw yourself a party. So that's how that book got its name, when things happen to you. And my goodness, we've had things happen to us over the years, like a house raid, where everything was taken away, and just a lot of negative things. So not everything is positive, but God works everything together for our good. So what do you have to worry about? You know, there was a song that I was raised in, a Plymouth Brethren Sunday school, and just, you could throw them out there. All right. And this song was, cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about, nothing to make you feel afraid, nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails, so why not praise him and shout? You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow morning. So think of things like that. My sister and I, my sister is of the Mormon persuasion, and she lives in Wyoming, but she was raised like I was in the same church. And so we think of these songs all the time in the middle of the night. You know, you wake up and you can think on something good or something bad. And the Holy Spirit brings these songs that we learned as children. And then we'll type them out and text them to each other in the morning. And it's really a great blessing to have that, because I believe that learning scripture set to music keeps it in you forever. Yes, so that's a little advice for you, to teach scripture to your children in music, and it's really good. All right, so Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and I have a story to tell that happened in 1938. And if you are good at math, you'll know that I'm speaking about me, because it's when I was born. But I didn't realize that I had been protected from abortion until I was 60 years old. And Dave and I, that's my late husband, he's not late, but he's late to me, he's not here. He's in heaven, he's alive. And this is what got me through his passing, is that I knew he wasn't dead. He just transferred locations, and he transferred to a better one. So I could rejoice and be happy for him. In fact, when He was in the hospital, and he had never been in the hospital in his life except when he was born. And he was 77 years old. And by the way, my throat dries up so fast. Here's a cough drop that I'm going to put in case you don't know what it is, cough drop. Melaleuca cough drop. It's very good for you. Okay, so, and my sermon title is Choices. We're speaking about choices and how we have all these choices to choose life or death. And so we have to program ourselves to realize that we don't have to be victims, have a victim mentality in any area of life, because we have choices on that. So we were in South Africa ministering, and we got a phone call from Julie, and this was about 25 years ago. And she said, "Mom, when you get home, do we have something to tell you?" And I said, "Well, can you give me a hint?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, then why did you call?" So all the way home, I'm thinking, well, maybe some close loved one died, or maybe this, or maybe that. And when I got home, she said, "We were at this little family reunion up in Wyoming, and we asked your sister about this grandmother she was talking about. Well, tell us about this grandmother, because she's our grandmother too." And your sister said, "No, she wasn't. She isn't your grandmother. Your mother was the product of a love child relationship, or your mother is a love child." Well, what a shock. I had been lied to for 60 years, and a family secret was kept because of humiliation and pain, shame. Thank you. Shame. What else? We can do this. I said to the Holy Spirit just a little bit ago, "Help me." And he said, "We've got this." And that is so encouraging, to know that the Holy Spirit in me is helping me. "We've got this," he said. Right. Yeah. My 3-year-old great-granddaughter said that recently. I can't remember why, but she said, "Grandma, I've got this." So then my mother was still living, and so I made an appointment with her and said, "Mom, I have something to talk to you about." And she almost died on the spot, because she dropped in her chair and she could hardly speak. She said, "I thought you'd never find out." And here's the story. It's a great story. She was in a Swedish chorale singing group that they auditioned for. She was 20 years old, or 19 at the time. And in downtown Chicago, they sang at downtown Chicago. It's a place where they sing and play music. Orchestra Hall. Orchestra Hall, downtown Chicago. The King of Sweden came, and she is of Swedish descent. And we thought we were all mixed descent. And so she met this man going to the same place as they were on the elevated going downtown Chicago from the south side where she lived. And he was also singing for the King of Sweden and was Swedish. Somehow they got together, and all of a sudden, she said to him, or let him know, that she was pregnant. So they were greatly attracted to each other. And she said, I'm pregnant. And he said, well, I'm engaged to someone else. So talk about love child. He may have had them all over. People say to me, how many siblings do you have? And I said, only God knows. So, so my mother then told me some details, and she told me that part, and she had a little booklet with his name in that booklet of those who had sung at this big event in downtown Chicago. And so we researched and found people with that name. First, I sent out a letter and told all the details, because someone mimeographed me. This is before you had texting and computer stuff and everything. Mimeographed a list of the names of this man, about 100 of them, who lived in the U.S. for me to get in touch with them. Don't remember how that all came about, but here's what my mother had said to me. She said that my father, whom I call the sperm donor, that he had offered her money and sent her money to get an abortion. And she took that money and put it in her dresser drawer. She lived at home with her Swedish parents who had immigrated from Sweden. And she said she'd open the drawer every once in a while, look at the money, just debating, what should I do? What should I do? Considering, should I get an abortion? And then finally she said, I took the money and spent it on myself. Yeah, good for her. So I was really pleased to know all of this, and it made things that I had felt become, I realized why, because this man that she said was my father, she divorced him after a few years. He had been pursuing her, and he said he would marry her, even knowing the situation. And so his name was on the birth certificate, and they forged a marriage license that said they got married before I was conceived. All these lies that happened, but that's just how it was in that day and age. And so she spent that money on herself and brought me into this world. And then I remember, first of all, when I met Dave and we got engaged and we're going to be married, I asked the man I thought was my father, that she had divorced all those years ago, to give me away at the wedding. And she was so upset. I didn't know why at the time. Now I understood why. And she said, well, I'm not coming to the wedding then. I'll have a headache. And so there was just a lot of hatred going on for all these men who were jerks. So anyway, because that man was too. So my mother rescued me. And that's a choice that she made. And I am so thankful for that choice, even in this hard situation, that she chose to give life to me and now to 81 other people in this family. So life is really, it starts right at conception. And a lot of people don't seem to know that. And do you realize that the abortion pill starves the baby to death? And people who take the abortion pill, women who take it, by the way, men cannot have babies. No matter how hard they try, it's not possible. And you can cut off your parts, you can chop up whatever, but you'll not be able to have a baby. You'll never have a period. And it's the women who should be applauded for what they go through in having babies. It's just an amazing, amazing event that God allows us to co-create with Him. He's the one who made us this way, that we could bring another human life into the planet. It's just so incredible. And then you can also help children who need a home, as we did with Sarah. And we made that choice. We had never thought of it ourselves, but some friends took us to a meeting where we saw that there was a need for children in an orphanage in Korea to be adopted. And we said, well, let's just write a letter and start the process and see what God does. And look what happened. Just amazing. So I encourage you to never think that you can't have children. Maybe you can't have them physically. Then adopt. It's just that simple. You could even be a single mother and adopt. And I'm just thankful that we made that choice. It's one of the best choices we ever made in our entire life and ministry, was to adopt a little girl. And they sent a picture. We sent a letter into the agency in January. We did home studies. And they said it may take several years. We got a picture in September of that same year. And they said that you didn't need to accept that child. You could ask for somebody else. And we immediately accepted this child into our family. And they said it could be several years. And my daughters got together, and their dad built a dollhouse. They fixed it all up, and they said, we want her here by Christmas. And we told that to God. And in December, we got a call from the adoption agency to be in Chicago in 2 days, because by this time I was living in Colorado, and that our child would be escorted on a plane from Korea, and we were to be at the airport. And they said, do not bring people with you, family members, because these children are traumatized already, and it will just hurt them more. Well, my family didn't agree. And so they were there en masse. I think there were probably 20 of us to welcome Sarah, because they all lived in Chicago. They brought cakes. We had presents. We had gifts. And then we had to get on an airplane in a couple hours and fly back to Colorado. I'm just telling you, it's an amazing, wonderful experience. Yes, a choice that we made. And so we'll talk about the fact that we are made in God's image. The God of creation created us in His image. There is no animal. There's no dog or cat or anything else that He created that's made in His image except us, made in the very image of God Himself. And He's given us creative powers and choices to make. And He delegated authority to establish His will on earth as it is in heaven to us. And I believe the Lord's Prayer, where we say, your will be done and on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that was answered at the cross, the finished work of Jesus. He brought to this earth. We sang the song this morning, you didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. And that's what He did in His death, burial, and resurrection. And so now it's up to us to keep this going on the earth, because He comes and He lives in us by His Holy Spirit, and we get to go around life here in Wesley Chapel, here in Arizona, here in where you live now. Where do you live, Mike, in Florida? Say it again. Claremont. I don't know where that is, but see, he's there to representing God. We're called ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And an ambassador is there on behalf of another country. We're there on behalf of heaven. We're here on behalf of heaven. You've got to look at yourself and choose to think of yourself in better terms than you already are. Because when those words come out of your mouth, someone says, well, I don't know. That is a little discouraging to the Holy Spirit, who's in there listening to you and hearing you say these negative things about him, like all the power in the universe is available to you through the Holy Spirit, through what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so we exercise authority by making choices. In Deuteronomy, he said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He gives us the answer. Choose life. Here's all the stuff that you can choose from. But I'd suggest, he's saying, that you choose life. And think of that every day in your work, in your play, in whatever you do. Are you choosing life? If you are, you'll have a smile on your face. Think about it. The life of God is in us. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his life, his favor, and his ability in me. And I know I've said this before, but I had that time on a bench with Jesus, just looking into his eyes. We were doing heart physics. And I said to him, very spiritually, his eyes were eyes of love. I thought of the phrase out of the book of Acts, it's in you that I live and move and have my very being. I said that to Jesus. And he looked in my eyes in a deeper way, and he said to me, and it's in you that I live and move and have my very being. Well, cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you feel afraid. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails. So why not praise him and shout? You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow morning. And I live by that. I really do. And I moved here to Palm Harbor by myself, and people are saying, well, are you going to assisted living? Are you going to a retirement home? Those kind of things, they make me gag when I think about them. But I did think about the assisted living part. I am in assisted living. I have a Christian woman and her daughter. Once a month, they come and assist me in cleaning my house. I have lawn people who come and take care of the outside, and it's beautiful. I'm assisted by them. I even have a swimming pool and a hot tub, and there's a person who comes and cleans it and assists me every week. I have neighbors who, I had an open house, by the way, and invited all the neighbors in my area. I got their text numbers because I didn't want to go knock on the door. And anyway, and about 20 came, but they're there to assist me, and they have already. Like the electricity went off in some areas, and I don't even know. What is the thing that you press? No, not a breaker box. You press something, it's a GTC or GTQ, a GFC, thank you. Well, I didn't know. So I texted a neighbor, and they came and assisted me. And we got the electricity going again. Now, the ice cream bars in the freezer, the chocolate does fall off right away when you start eating it because they had been a little thawed, not a lot. But, so, and God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they live in me and they assist me all the time. So, yes, I did move to assisted living. So life and death, choose life. Unlike any other created beings, we exercise authority over the created world in the same manner as God, with our words. The Bible says in John 10:10, Jesus said this, I am come, and he did. He said, and here's the reason why I came. I am come to give you life, and life more dreary, sad. You're going to have a hard time down here, and I'm so sorry for you, but I came anyway. No, I am come that you may have life, and life more abundantly. Abundantly. Abundant life is yours now if you choose it. You have to choose. And then he goes on to say, there's a thief. And he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And a lot of Christians think that that's who's living in them because everything is negative. And, oh, I'm so sad about this. This was so bad, and that was so bad. That's the thief at work, and you have authority over him. And you say, I choose not to listen to you. I will not listen to your lies. I am here to agree with God. And that would put a smile on your face. I would like to see this side smile at me right now. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that. The rest of you, see, it caused you to smile just to see them smile, didn't it? It's catching. It's really catching. So, nothing demonstrates that we have authority as much as the fact that we can change the quality of life by simply making decisions or choices. And this is biblical, by the way. Everything I'm telling you is biblical. So, also, with this life here on earth and the kingdom, and I've heard Eric talking, preaching about the kingdom of God, and I'll just say this, the kingdom, when Jesus was here on earth, he said the kingdom is near, and then he said the kingdom, after he died, by the way, he said it is finished, and he brought the kingdom with him to this earth. He sent the kingdom down with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the kingdom now lives in us, and it is manifested, it says in Romans 14, it's manifested as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and it's in us now. We are bringing it now to earth, to the people around us. And I have gotten to impact people in my neighborhood. I believe I am sowing seeds, and it's just a fun thing to do. It really is, sowing seeds of the Word of God and the life of God and making them hungry to know more about Jesus and what he's done for us. And we also have spiritual warfare, our minds, in our thought realm. The Bible talks so much about what you think and how to control what you think and let in your mind. If your thoughts are pulling you down, don't agree with them. Say, well, God didn't say that. God said this. He agrees, he wants me to live an abundant life, more abundant. And he doesn't want me to be stolen from by the thief. Take your authority, make that choice to guard your thoughts. And it says that we're to tear down every thought that rises up against the knowledge of God. And if you don't know who God is and have knowledge about him, you're sunk, truly. So get to know who God is. Look in the Word of God. He tells you who he is. He tells you about his goodness. He said, it says in Romans 2 that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And yet you probably are telling people that they're horrible and awful and they're going to hell and hoping that they'll get saved over that message. Why not tell them how much God loves them and how he wants them to repent, because he wants them to be a part of his kingdom and he wants them to be able to live out through his kingdom on this earth, just like he did as he walked the earth. So we're choosing life with our thoughts. And Eric said I could go as long as I wanted. We're learning the nature of God. He is love. You know, people say these days, well, love is love. And they think that that means they can be homosexuals, they can be transgender, they can do whatever if they're doing it in a loving way. Well, that's not biblical. The Bible says God is love. He's our measure. He's the one who determines what love is. We don't get to say that it can be all this other. God is love. And today in our world, we have a culture. And how it got here so quickly, I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with the internet, with computers, with telephones and so forth, how so many are radicalized already in lies, even Christians radicalized in lies and thinking all of these wrong things. And we're here to help them see there's a better way. There's a better way. We renew our minds. He became sin, Jesus did. He who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The great exchange, exchanging our sin for his righteousness. So who am I now? I am a righteous daughter of God. I am not just a friend. I'm his daughter. He chooses to live in me and through me. Hallelujah. That's what I'm choosing. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have the power to forgive. People will always offend us. And to forgive means to send away. And so when I feel that trying to come on me, I just say, I send this away in Jesus' name. I refuse to think this about that person. And I'm not going to talk it about that person. And live the life that God wants us to live of more abundantly. More abundance in our life. And then in what we think, read the book of Philippians. Read Philippians 4. All the choices that you have there on what to think on. My goodness, think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that, what else? Good report. Yes, that's enough to keep you going. But we can choose to think on those things. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful. Where are you going, Tim? pure and holy, merciful and kind. No, I have done that to my regret, and I'm just teasing now, but fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Put into practice the example of all you have heard from God, all you have seen in, no, this is Paul saying this. This is Paul here on earth saying this. Put into practice the example of all that you have heard from me or seen in my life, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Now, can people say that about your life? Wow, when I look at you, I see all this good stuff that is so wonderful that the God of peace just envelops me. That's what we are to live, and we can do it. We've got the power. We've got the availability of the Holy Spirit to help us. Like he says to you, we've got this. We've got this. We're his representatives, his ambassadors. And so fear and guilt are repelled by the knowledge of God's perfect love for you. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Julie, have you taken any pictures yet? Okay, thank you. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So what are you fearing? Fearing getting sick? Fearing dying? Fearing dying? Why? You're going to a better place. It just doesn't make sense to give in to these fears. Fear that you're going to catch something, or that you're going to be hurt by someone, or whatever. And it just freezes you. And you can't make good choices when you live in fear. So stop it. The spirit of fear is not to be a part of our lives. See yourself the way God sees you. When he looks at you, he sees the finished work of Jesus. You know, I know there are teachings on dispensations. Well, you know what I've decided? I'm from the dispensation of it is finished. Jesus did it. It's finished. And that's where I'm living. I'm a new creation, a brand new species of being. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus did. He gets the credit, not me. I'm one with the Lord, in union with him, and it's not based on my performance. Step into freedom. Choose to. And look at your church name. You've stepped into freedom here. Yes. And so step into it every day, every minute. Freedom to be who God created to be. And God says, look what I've done. You're not lacking anything. Stop agreeing with lies. Agree with me. We're also released from sin's power. That's what Jesus did. That's what the blood of Jesus did. There's no power in sin over our lives. You cannot use an excuse. I want to go back to Philippians 4. It says, and let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Relationships. Gentleness be seen in every relationship. Tam, you can come in and sit down. God says this, you are my exquisite representative of me. I have given you beyond what you could ask, think, or imagine. And that scripture is in Ephesians. And the home that I got in Palm Harbor, looked for a year and didn't come up with anything, giving away stuff in Colorado, truckloads, carloads, all kinds of things, right, ladies? And my daughters were such an amazing help here and there, and sorted everything. And I thought, I'm not going to go to heaven and leave them with this 6,100-foot house full of stuff that they have to go through. And that's one of the reasons I decided to move also. Let them sort it now while I'm alive and can help. And that's what we did. But it's beyond what I could have asked, thought, or imagined. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I told them, you know, even if I go to heaven sometime soon, and just know that I made the right choice, and this is where God wanted me now. And I have such gratitude to God for what he did. And my granddaughter, I see it is not here. It's here. Yeah. May I just read you how a prophetic word went out Christmas 1 year ago, and my granddaughter Gentry, who is Julie's daughter, had a prophetic word. I was telling the family, there were 30-some of us there on Christmas Eve in my large house, and I'd lived there for 33 years, and lived there for 10 years without Dave with a reverse mortgage. And then the house had quadrupled in its price, but I entered the market when it was a buyer's market, so didn't quite add up to that, but it was still good. And Gentry said about this, she's saying to God, from God to me, she said, God, we thank you that you would surround this woman, this beautiful pioneer. We pray that in these days that it would come easy. The sale would come easy. The move would come easy. There will be an ease and a rest in this season for her. I didn't know where I was going until mid-April. I hadn't bought a house. I had sold mine. I had to be out in 2 weeks, but we'd been working at it all this time. And we thank you that your faithfulness goes into the future to prepare a way for her. There will be money, and you will provide everything she needs for her future. The seed that she has sown, we call it back. All the seed for right now, for such a time as this. Thank you for your servant heart. Now she's speaking to me. Thank you for your servant heart. No. It was very good. I appreciate these words. I'm teasing. For making this a place for anyone. So many pastors and others keep people at such an arm's length. But you literally said, here's my address. Here's the place to come and experience the love of God. Because you are faithful, he's going to be faithful to you during the next season. We had tens of thousands of people in our home in the 33 years, and then 24 before in Greeley, and ministered to them from all over the world. I once had a guest book, but I never kept up with it. It would have been good if I had. But tens of thousands, because we never had a church building. We chose not to in Denver, and so we used our home for a lot of things, a lot of meetings and parties. And we tell the people, remember, we're partying here. This is a Holy Spirit party. Someone out on the streets asks you, what are you doing in there? What are all these cars here for? We're having a party. And the lawyer called me from that area and said, we have reports you have a church in your home. And I said, no, we meet in someplace else for the church. I can send you a bulletin. I said, but we have a lot of parties here. And I said, that's why we moved to this big house, so we could party. And I said, now, isn't it true that I don't have to tell you what we do at our parties? And he said, yes, that is true, and he never called again. So, okay, so now the prophetic word is going to God. God, let her land somewhere so wonderful so we can come and visit her and enjoy that beautiful Florida home with her. God, you know the desires of her heart, and she should have put in our hearts. and you have already met them for her, Father. We just bless you, Grandma Bonnie. We bless this home and each person that has ever been in it. They receive things we can't even measure that come from this home. There were seeds planted here. We send this home off to the future, a beautiful future and a home for this, a new home for this woman. Off to the next thing that you have planned for her, which is a season of ease and beauty and vacation and fun and everything that she's ever, ever desired in her heart that you see and you know. You are faithful. We love you, Jesus. And it was my choice to agree with this. And I believe it was from God. And I agreed with it. And God did beyond what I could ask, think, or imagine. Hallelujah. And he will do the same for you. So, last scripture, Eric. You are in God's kingdom for such a time as this. Be confident. Your hearts, this is Colossians 1, 12 to 14 in the Passion Translation. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness. Completely rescued us. Completely. Not just a little bit. Not till you're in glory someday, by and by. Translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. What sin doesn't it cleanse from? Raise your hand and let us know. I thought so. So choose life more abundantly in Jesus' name. And now, daughters, you can come up and say something, even though we're past time a few minutes. Eric doesn't mind. Julie, I can see you're moving.
I just...
They're okay with this. I can tell by their faces.
No, we're talking about choices and the choice that my grandmother made and the impact in the world. Not only that my mom is here, but then and that we then became a family and then we have families. And the impact is it's unimaginable. But one choice, just one. If my grandma had had an abortion, none of this would have happened. And it is so incredible that our choices are that powerful. And that's what always hit me with mom's story about this and the sanctity of life is that one choice has then affected generations and generations. And now I'm a great grandma and now that generation that multiplies so quickly that the impact. And so that is the importance of our choices in every part of life. And my husband and I are the blended family and we have 9 children. And
if they count the spouses, it's 18.
Yeah, 9 children and their spouses. But it is, you know, all of them love Jesus. And then I could tell you if we had time, but I won't. But every single one is making an impact in their world. And they're spread out all over the United States. And what they do and how they show the love of God. And it is just, it's an incredible, incredible thing. The impact that one life can have. And that is true for all of us. We all have that impact. Because you take away your life and the void that would be there. And so be encouraged that those choices that you make, and it's not just the big choices, it's the little choices. It's the choices to control your thoughts and the choices to be kind and show love. And all these have an impact and the ripple effect. Only God knows. So when we get to heaven, we will get to see just how incredibly God used us and through our lives, how we made an impact. And so one choice that your mom decided to keep you has changed the world forever.
Thank you. Thank you.